We're turning in our Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 8. John's Gospel, chapter 8, and we'll start our reading at verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then one final verse from Galatians chapter 5 and the verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Amen. And God will bless the public reading of his own precious and infallible word. The gospel text for tonight is in John chapter 8 and verse 32, though we will be making reference to the book of Galatians as we go through the message. And it's just those words at the end of that verse 32, the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. The period before the Reformation, as I'm sure you all know, or at least we ought to know, that period was known as the Dark Ages. The Reformation brought liberty and freedom in many ways. It brought political freedom, economic freedom, educational freedom, financial freedom, and scientific freedom. All these freedoms that we enjoy today were bought for us at a great price. And we do have liberty, but it's all because of the spiritual liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. That ought never to be overlooked. All our other freedoms, all our enjoyments and liberties are because of the spiritual freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our subject tonight is the truth shall make you free. Now, let me say at the outset, freedom costs. There's a price to be paid for freedom. Freedom is not free, and we should never take it for granted. It costs to obtain freedom, and it costs to maintain freedom. We should remember that and never deny the freedoms, privileges, and benefits that the gospel has brought to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can think of our nation and the civil and religious liberty that we enjoy, and we think at the same time of our ancestors and even the wars and the conflicts over decades, even in our own little province. And we think of friends and relatives who have given their lives that we might know here in our own province freedom. And we do know, because of all these things, the endurance of years, that freedom costs. There's a price to freedom. It's not given cheaply. It's not earned cheaply, and we don't maintain it cheaply either. But spiritual freedom costs. There's a price to be paid. We're living in a day of confusion over spiritual things. There was a book published some years back, and it was called Modern Heresies. The book has indeed a bad title, because no heresy of today is modern. It's as old as the hills. It's just dressed up in different garb and garments. It's decorated and painted with different colors. It is only old heresies resurrected and brought to life again, and preached by people who think they have discovered something new. And it's simply as old as the hills. In the days of Scripture, there were heresies. In the days of the New Testament church, there were heresies. In the days before the Reformation, there was heresy. And heresy still exists today. And many of these which are called new discoveries are not new at all, because they have existed before. The names may be new, they may bear different titles, but they're the same old heresies painted and powdered and brought out as new. It's like dressing up a piece of beef and making it to appear as something else, some other product of another animal entirely. Let us remember the works of the devil. He's out to deceive and to confuse and to bring to naught the very truths of God's precious word. Paul faced heresy in the Galatian churches. Not only that, but he faced a great departure from the faith in the Galatian churches. And in the chapter 5, he is shocked, and he writes in chapter 5, speaking about the Galatians and saying to them, "Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free." Wherewith Christ hath made us free. And in another place, he speaks of foolish Galatians in chapter 3 and verse 1, and asks the question, "Who hath bewitched you?" And so, freedom comes at a cost, and we have got to hold on to those freedoms. How was their liberty procured? Speaking about the church in Galatia, or the churches in Galatia, how was their liberty procured and secured? The liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. That's what Paul says in chapter 5 and verse 1. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 8, our Bible reading for tonight, that the truth shall make you free. And we as Bible believers look upon the Bible as the truth. We accept the Bible as the truth. It's called the Word of Truth, and it's called the Scriptures of Truth. There's no denying that. The Bible is the Word of Truth. It is the Scriptures of Truth. But then we think of the Gospel, and it's called the Gospel of Truth. And it is called the Gospel of Salvation. And that's what we're about tonight. And that's what we're about every week in this house. We're about the Gospel of Truth, the Gospel of Salvation, and the Savior himself speaking about the way to heaven. He said, "I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me." That's gospel truth. That's the Scripture of Salvation. That's the way sinners ought to seek and come by the way of the cross, which leads to heaven and to home. Christ is truth personified. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." How did these Galatians, living in the churches of the province of Galatia, find their liberty? Find their freedom. The truth shall make you free. And as Paul says, that stand fast in the liberty where Christ hath made us free. These people were in bondage. These people were in darkness. These people were sold in sin. They were of their father, the devil. They were doomed. They were in bondage. They were dead in trespasses and in sins. And that's the condition every one of us have been born into. And if you're not saved, my friend, tonight, then you're in bondage to sin. And you are doomed to die in your sin if you don't repent. And you're dead in your sin. And there's nothing that you can do to merit God's salvation. That's why Christ came. And at Easter time, we remember his death and his sufferings upon the cross at Calvary. And they're brought before us. Those sufferings on the tree. Christ bearing our sin in agony, in shame, and in pain. These people were in the condition that I've just described to you. And how were they then set free? They were set free because the Apostle Paul came into their territory and traveled around like an itinerant preacher, preaching the Word of God, preaching the truth of salvation in Jesus Christ, preaching Christ. That's what he was doing. And on hearing that message, these people turned from darkness. They turned from sin. They repented of their iniquity. And by faith, they received Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they became followers of the Lord Jesus. My dear friend, that's just how any of us are saved. We might live in what we call a Protestant enlightened country, but I want to tell you something, that every man, regardless of what he might profess, if he knows not the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, his heart is in the darkness of sin. It's caught up in the bitterness and in the wickedness and in the thraldom of iniquity. And in God's sight, you're no better than these darkened Galatians were before they heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And therefore, it is imperative. It's imperative that men and women seek the Lord. It's imperative that you do it tonight. You call upon him now. Paul came into the area preaching the scriptures of truth, preaching the gospel of salvation, the truth that salvation is found by faith alone in Christ alone. And many believed it, and they were gloriously transformed. And they became part of the Church of Jesus Christ in that area. And that's how they found their freedom. That's how they were liberated. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "The truth shall make you free." And the truth of the gospel made those sinners free. Has that truth made you free? How often you have heard it, and what a privilege and benefit to your own life and soul that you have heard the good news. But have you been made free? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you saved by sovereign grace? As we look into this a little closer, and in Galatians chapter 1, we see that what set them free, according to verse 6 of that chapter, was the grace of Christ. Verse 6 refers to the grace of Christ. What did Paul bring with him to Galatia? He brought the gospel. What did he teach the people in Galatia? He taught them grace. The reformers taught grace. Rome taught works. Little wonder there was 1,000 years of darkness over the world, and especially throughout Europe, when the Bible was withdrawn and withheld, and the gospel was not preached, and instead of grace there was works, and men went further and further into the darkness of superstition and of ignorance. Thank God, Paul preached the grace of Christ. He preached the grace of God, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. My friend, the reformers came. Martin Luther came preaching grace. Oh, he had sought works for years. He had tried it, and it failed him. It let him down. It discouraged him, almost to the point where he was prepared, even on occasions, to take his own life. Such was the despondency of trying works for salvation. But one day, God shone the torch of eternal truth into his soul, and heaven's light dispelled the darkness, and he saw for himself that salvation was by the grace of God through faith in Christ. And he arose from his position a new man, with light in his heart, with faith in his soul, with joy in his being, and he went forth to tell others and to preach the grace of Christ. As a result, that Europe was awakened, and many thousands of people saw that salvation was by faith alone, in Christ alone. They were liberated. They were set free. They enjoyed their liberty through the gospel of saving grace. Thank God for that gospel. Thank God for its blessing upon our own land. Grace is unmerited favor. It's something given to you and to me that we don't deserve. We deserve God's wrath and his judgment. George Whitefield spent some time meditating on this particular subject, and after a period he said, "I saw in myself a fitness to be damned." The only fitness that he could see in himself was not acceptance with God, but a fitness to be damned. And my friend, I would repeat George Whitefield's message, that the only fitness that you have tonight is a fitness for hell, a fitness to perish, a fitness to be lost, because you're a sinner in darkness and you could never save yourself. May the Lord open your eyes. I do not want God's justice. That might seem a strange thing to say, because if I were to receive God's justice, then I would be receiving God's judgment and God's punishment upon my sin, and that's what I would deserve. But instead, I receive God's grace. I receive God's mercy. I receive God's love. I receive it all in the bundle of life in Jesus Christ. And praise God, our Savior is all of these things to us. May he reveal himself in the abundance of his grace to you tonight. The grace of Christ. That's how the Galatians received their freedom. That's how they maintained it. And my dear friend, the only freedom worth having is the freedom of sins forgiven and the knowledge of knowing it's well with our souls. Amazing grace. John Newton penned the lines, "How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I'm lost. Was lost, but now I'm found." Amazing grace. How wonderful is the grace of God. Then in the verse 7 of Galatians chapter 1, it speaks there of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ in verse 7. These people in Galatia and the surrounding areas were set free through the grace of Christ and the gospel of Christ. Gospel is good news. Paul came bringing a message of good news. Supposing tonight you were in debt to hundreds of thousands of pounds and the courts were going to make you pay up or else impose some other punishment upon you. And yet suppose that a friend would come along and say to you, "Your debt is taken care of. Your debt is covered. It's in your bank account, and it's all taken care of and covered." Now, wouldn't that be good news indeed, and relief, giving you freedom of mind and freedom of thought and freedom in many other ways? The gospel is good news. I had a debt that I could not pay. But the gospel is the good news. My debt was sin. Sin so large. Sin so mountainous. Sin so plentiful. But the Lord Jesus Christ has paid my debt on Calvary. He has paid the price in full. He has given himself a ransom for my sin, that I might be set free. Thank God I have nothing to pay. I hear the Savior say, said the hymn writer, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe." Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. "For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb." Oh, have you washed in the blood of Calvary? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Isn't it good that Christ has paid our debt? He has paid it in full. He gave his life a ransom for us. And into my debt account, as it were, the Lord has imputed all the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And that is laid to my account. That's the gospel. The gospel of the good news of the grace of Jesus Christ. Where do you stand tonight? And then finally, and in closing, in chapter 1 also of Galatians, and in the verse 4, there is there in that verse the opening three words, "who gave himself." Here we have the gift gift of Christ, who gave himself. What does that mean? What set these people here free? It was the fact that they heard about the grace of God. They heard about the gospel of Christ, and they heard of the gift of Christ in that he gave himself for their sins. And they believed it. They received it. And they were washed in the blood. This is the great miracle of Calvary. The great miracle of the cross, that Christ did not die as a helpless victim, as some would have said and do say. But here, in these hours of darkness upon Calvary's tree, the Lord Jesus suffered. He suffered at the hands of hateful men, wicked men, cruel men. He suffered because of our sins in his own body on the tree. They were laid upon him, and it was the Father's will from all eternity that his Son should become the sacrifice for sin and die for us and suffer in our room instead. And thank God, these Galatian believers and the members of the churches in that area, they received the gospel of truth. They received the gospel of the scriptures. They received the message of the word of God. Just like the two on the Emmaus Road this morning, as we've been thinking about them, they received the message of Christ in the Word as they listened. And they eventually believed, and a great change came over them, a mighty transformation, and it made all the difference in their lives. My friend, let this transformation take place in your life and experience the difference that it will make. Trust in Christ. Receive the gospel of salvation. Thank God Christ died for the ungodly. In my place condemned he stood and sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. God forbid then that I should glory save only in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let our glory be of him. Let us glorify Christ by receiving him, by trusting him, by believing on him, and following him all the days of our lives.